Broadcasting across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the program is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because life and truth matter. This is a live call-in program, so dial 888-ASK-HANK to ask your question now. Again, that's 888-275-4265. To start today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go to your calls right away on today's edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. As just mentioned, numerically, 888-275-4265. Also, an announcement that I'm going to be speaking at South Valley Community Church. That's in Gilroy, the garlic capital of the world. And this is at the 2017 Reasons to Believe Apologetics Month event. And I'll be speaking in all three services Sunday, August 27th at the Gilroy campus and at the Hollister campus. For more information, you can go to the web at equip.org. Look forward to seeing you there. Let's go right to the phone lines. I have some things I want to communicate later on, but let's talk to Don in Omaha, Nebraska, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Don.
Hey, good evening there, Hank. It's a pleasure to talk to you, brother. It really is.
Well, nice to talk to you.
Absolutely. And Hank, I just got a comment first, then and then I'll ask
sure.
a quick question. Is I admire you so much there, Hank, because you know, your illness that you're going through right now, you give me strength, Hank, but just listening to you say how much you're trusting in God, and it strengthens you, because I'm going through a nothing like your case, but I'm going through a problem with my neck primarily, and it's constantly giving me headaches all the time. And some days, I pray on it all the time there, Hank, and I'm praying for you as well.
Oh, bless you.
And some days, Hank, I just, it seems like the flesh takes over, that I get anxious. I get scared that this is going to be a lifelong thing for me. And to be perfectly honest, on quiet moments sometime, Hank, even after prayer and trusting on the Lord, I get moments where it seems like my flesh takes over and I start to get anxious. And I, like I said, want to admire you because it doesn't seem like you get that.
Well, let me be totally candid with you. I mean, today was one of those days where I had to get a blood draw to see what my hemoglobin and my white blood cell count was and my platelets and so forth. So I went all the way downtown, which takes about 40 minutes to an hour. Yeah, and I had the blood draw, everything on time. Then I came back, everything was perfect. And what I had forgotten was that I was supposed to get a Neulasta shot, which boosts your white blood cell count.
Right.
And so I got all the way back to the office, got entrenched in my work again, and all of a sudden realized I forgot something very, very important. And I will tell you, I would say I was a little bit in the flesh there for a while as I was I was driving back there, to be absolutely honest with you. So
yeah.
I had to spend some time praying about that.
Yes, and I do that, Hank, because, you know, that's what's going to get us through, certainly me, and I'm sure I'm speaking for others as well. Thank you for that, Hank. The other question I have is, I'm a member of a church here in Omaha. Love the church. I really like it. And I remember listening to John MacArthur a couple of shows. He always talks about the only way a church fails is fail to be biblical. So the church is biblical, but something happened this particular couple of weeks ago where, you know, the pastor was out of town and we had a guest speaker, and it was a female pastor, and she preached a sermon. Perfectly honest, it was obviously biblical and really good message. But, you know, after reading 1 Timothy, I think it's 1 Timothy 2, 11 and 12, talks about pastors should be female, should not be pastors of church. So I'm just kind of struggling with that there, Hank. How do I address that? Do I address it with the leadership of the church or what? Or, like I said, he was out of town and he just had a guest speaker speak and it happened to be a female.
Yeah, well, I don't think that from the standpoint of precedent that you find in the Old Testament and in the New Testament with the prophets, the priests, and the apostles, I think the precedent is that the ruling elder in a church or the teaching elder in the church, the presbyter in a church, ought to be a male. But that does not mean that you cannot have a female speak in the church. And I think one of the grave errors we make is to take the precedent too far and forget that men and women are ontologically equal, and that if a woman has been gifted to teach, she ought to be able to use that gift. In fact, she is required to use that gift. And there is biblical precedent for teachers like Priscilla to teach men, to teach the way more plainly. Not only that, but when you look at what Paul is saying in context, he's simply saying that just as with a man, until a woman learns, she must not presume to teach. In fact, Paul chastised the Jewish men of his day for the very fact that they excluded women from learning. And by doing that, they left them vulnerable to deception. Adam was responsible, if you go all the way back to the beginning, he was responsible for failing to protect Eve from deception. And in the same way, men of Paul's day should be held responsible if they hindered women from studying and growing in their faith. In other words, if they did that, what they would be doing is they would be capitulating to the culture. Because in that culture, women were not allowed to learn. Their testimonies were not considered valid in a court of law. They are on the lowest rung of the socioeconomic ladder. They were, in essence, chattel. And Paul is doing what Jesus did. He's being a counter-revolutionary. He is changing the culture rather than capitulating to the culture. So he wants women to study and learn. That's why he gives instructions for women to prophesy and pray within the context of the body of Christ. So if they're to be silent at all times, then obviously there's a disjuncture between what Paul is saying in one place and another place. He's contradicting himself. That's not the point. They ought to be silent just as men ought to be silent until they have sufficiently learned. And again, I think that going back to the overall point or the overarching point, I think that there's a good precedent in Scripture whereby a presbyter ought to be a male as opposed to a female. I can't really give you good reasons for that other than I bow my knee before God's revelation of himself to me in Scripture in the same way I follow the precedent that he has set in Scripture, and whether I understand it or not is immaterial.
Exactly. Okay. I perfectly understand that, Hank. Thank you very much. I won't say questioning it, but I was like, wow. Scripture says this, but now you put it in context, right? Context, it all done. And apparently I didn't use it in the right context. But thank you very much, Hank.
Hey, you got it. And thank you so much for your call. An important question. Love the conversation in general. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Ed in Asheville, North Carolina, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Ed.
Hey, Brother Hank. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Man, I love you, brother. I've been listening to you for about 6 years, and one of the things that I really admire about you, man, you know, I study the Word, and one of the things that amazes me is the fruit of God, the fruit of the Spirit. And when I listen to you, I feel so much joy and so much peace just coming from you, brother. You know, as you go through this trial, like the first brother called in earlier today, I agree with him. I just admire, you know, just watching your strength, man, and admire you as you walk through this battle. And you're not alone, man. We are praying for you, my brother.
Well, thank you.
Yes,
wow.
Sir. All right. So my question, I've got two. I actually got one main question. I use the most of the time when I'm praying, I'm just being led by the Spirit, and I'm praying and just opening up to the Lord and trying to stay, you know, keep my mind focused on the Word and the Scripture. Sometimes I use the Lord's Prayer as a basis also. When I use the Lord's Prayer, one of the things that kind of throws me off just a little bit, and one thing I learned from you is that the Bible does explain itself, so I appreciate that. When Jesus says, lead us not into temptation, and we know that God is not man and he doesn't tempt us, I was kind of wondering if you could maybe shed some light on what Jesus meant by that. And I'll let you go ahead and explain that.
Yeah, that's a really good question. And the Lord's Prayer is a prayer that I pray at least three times a day. And as part of my prayer time before I come on the air, I pray the Lord's Prayer. And obviously, this is one of the very significant parts of the Lord's Prayer. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. When we pray that prayer, what we're doing is we are acknowledging that God is sovereign over all things, including the temptations of Satan. And I love Augustine as he rightly referred to the evil one as the ape of God. Luther called the devil God's devil. So while our enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour, he is, after all, a lion on a leash, the length of which is determined by the Lord. So I hope you get the point there. In praying that, we are recognizing God's sovereignty over all things, even the temptations of the evil one. I mean, you think about Jesus, who was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. So while Satan was the agent of the temptation, God was the author of the testing. Satan used the occasion to tempt Christ to sin. But God used the occasion to demonstrate that he could not sin. And I think one other point I'd make in this regard, whenever we pray, lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, we're reminded to look forward to the day when we will be completely set free from all earthly temptations. And the very fact that Jesus withstood temptations in the wilderness is the guarantee that one day soon the kingdom will be ours. The tempter is going to be thrown into the lake of burning sulfur, and temptations such as those depicted in the scriptures and manifest in our lives will no longer be a reality. The problem of sin and Satan will forever be resolved. But I think, again, the key point here is that this is to put the emphasis in the right place, and that is the sovereignty of God to protect us even in the area of Satan's temptations.
Amen, amen. Okay, my brother, yeah, and I agree 100%. I appreciate you shedding some light on that for me, so thank you so much. You are in my prayers, my man, and you know, keep doing God's will, brother. We're praying for you.
Well, thank you, and bless you, and I love your enthusiasm.
Hey, thank you, Hank. Take care, my friend.
You made my day. A Practical Guide to Culture. We've been talking about it all month, and I'm hyperventilating over this book. It's a great book, helping the next generation navigate today's world. And of course, this book takes on the cultural issues of the day. And when we come back from the break, I want to say a little bit about the cultural issues of the day that are pressing on my mind right as we speak, something that I was very, very burdened by this morning. I'll share that right after the break. We'll be taking more of your calls, answering more of your questions. As always, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, A Practical Guide to Culture, helping navigate next generation, helping them navigate today's world. That book available, just check it out on the web for those who support the ministry. Also, George Barna's very important book, and I probably have been remiss not mentioning it enough, America at the Crossroads, Explosive Trends Shaping America's Future and What You Can Do About It. For a gift of a certain amount, I don't know what all the details are, but you can check it out on the web. You can get both books, or you can get either one of them for your gift. Check it out on the web at equip.org or just write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or you can talk to our, I probably say that a little slower, 28271. Most of you have that by now, I'm sure. You can also talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. I've been going at such mock speed today, I think I'm hyperventilating. More from you as you call in your questions, 888-ASK-HANK. I'm going to unburden my soul as soon as we come back from the break as well. We've got the quote of the day, which is unbelievable. In fact, I might have two quotes of the day today. After in the third segment. So a lot coming up. Just don't touch that dial. We'll be back in just a bit.
We live in a tumultuous time. Upheavals and reversals in culture, popular opinion, morality, race relations, socioeconomic status, and so much more have entire generations feeling off balance or out of touch. How do we keep pace with the breathtaking rate of change in our society when we can hardly find time to keep up with our own racing news feeds? And in the face of such enormous cultural forces, is there anything we can do? In the book, America at the Crossroads, best-selling author and cultural analyst George Barna turns his researcher's eye to the most significant trends, compiling and distilling salient information for busy readers who want to shape culture rather than allow it to shape them. To receive your copy of America at the Crossroads, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. America is at a crossroads. Action is needed, but not just any action. We don't need Christians merely attempting to do their best. We need soberly informed Christians doing what is genuinely strategic. The future doesn't just happen. It is created by people committed to envisioning and facilitating specific outcomes in society. The key is not simply to know what is coming, but to determine how to respond most intelligently and strategically to emerging circumstances. And that's why Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute are offering George Barna's strategic book, America at the Crossroads, in appreciation for your financial partnership. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the Revised and Updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. More Christians need to wake up, stand up, and speak up. Once awakened, we need the conviction and spiritual spine to stand against the forces tearing at the moral fabric of a nation already in decline. Once on our feet, we need to speak up and courageously counter the cultural lies and rampant nonsense that are eroding the foundations of our most basic freedoms. That's why this month we are offering the strategic resource, America at the Crossroads, Explosive Trends Shaping America's Future and What You Can Do About It. To receive your copy of the book, America at the Crossroads, as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. We'll be going back to your calls in just a moment. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. But I want to say something about cultural lies and perhaps underscore one of the great cultural lies that is destroying lives in our epoch of time. I read an article in the Daily Signal by Walt Heyer, and it's titled, My Sex Change Was a Myth. Why Trying to Change One's Sex Will Always Fail. And Walt writes that cross-gender hormones and genital surgery cannot change a boy into a girl or a girl into a boy. It simply can't happen biologically. Underneath all the cosmetic procedures, the vocal training, the hair growth or hair removal, lies a biological or a physical reality. Sex is an indelible fact of a person's biology. In biology, an organism is male or female if it is structured to perform one of the prospective roles in reproduction. And that definition does not require an arbitrary, measurable, or quantifiable physical characteristic or behavior. It requires understanding the reproductive system and the reproductive process. Walt goes on to say, sex pertains to the two different ways males and females are structured for reproduction, and these structures are permanently ingrained in one's biology. They cannot be chosen at will. A man can mutilate his body, but he can never transform it to be organized as a female and vice versa for the woman. And this makes sense of the head-snapping and false headline many of us saw about a man having a baby. The man featured in the story is simply a biological woman who has kept her childbearing anatomy intact. In terms of his own sex change, Walter says, my sex change surgery from male to female was performed by Dr. Stanley Bieber in Trinidad, Colorado, which has now become the sex change capital of the world. This particular surgeon estimated that he has performed over 5,000 such surgeries during his career. I lived legally and socially as a female for 8 years, but I came to the realization that I wanted to go back to living as a man. to legally change my gender back to male, I needed to file a petition with the California Superior Court that verified I met certain criteria. My surgeon wrote a letter to the court stating that I met the medical criteria for the courts to legally change my birth certificate back to male. The very surgeon who earlier said that hormones and surgery had changed me to female now admitted that it did not. In the letter, he testified that the surgery and cross-gender hormones had the effect of neutering my external appearance and genitalia, but my internal biology structure and my genetics were still male. Hormones and surgical changes can affect one's external appearance, but no innate biological change of sex occurs. So, this is one of the cultural lies. Thousands and thousands of people are being duped into believing these cultural lies. It's one of the reasons that I have been so insistent that you get the books that are available for those who support the ministry this month. We have to counter these cultural lies. We need to know how to think about them. It's not just cursing the darkness, but building a lighthouse in the midst of the gathering storm. And by the way, these cultural lies have penetrated the body of Jesus Christ. You think of a luminary like Pat Robertson. CBN is a huge megaforce in the Christian world. Well, what does he say about this? He says, I think that there are men who are in a woman's body or women that are in men's bodies, and they want a sex change. I don't think there's any sin associated with that. I don't think that there's any sin associated with transitioning to the other gender. I don't condemn someone for doing that. Well, maybe he's missing the point. Maybe it's not just about condemnation or lack of condemnation. Maybe it's about what this does to the individual. There are many, many people who have bought this cultural lie who want to kill themselves. They realize they've mutilated their genitalia. They've destroyed their lives, and they don't see a way out. The church ought not to be augmenting this in any way. And in the third segment of this broadcast, I have a quote, which I think will settle the issue once and for all, but I'm going to leave this hanging for now. If you want more information, America at the Crossroads, George Barna, A Practical Guide to Culture, John Stonestreet, and Brett Kunkel, helping the next generation navigate today's world. Those resources are critical for your library. Available at equip.org. You get both those books for a gift of $100 or more. You can get either one of those books for your gift to the ministry. Check it out again on the web at equip.org or check with our resource consultants, 888-7000. And the letter CRI. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Pamela, Toronto, Ontario, Canada, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Pamela.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you very much for taking my call.
It's a pleasure.
I appreciated what you said to a previous caller that men and women were created ontologically equal, and I wholeheartedly agree with that statement. I am currently enrolled in seminary. I'm doing my Master's of Theology, and I've actually come across a lot of varying opinions with respect to females in the church and whether they have been called into leadership or pastoral care over a congregation. And I was just wondering if you could share your thoughts on women pastors in a church.
Well, sort of like I said to the caller in the first segment of the broadcast today, Pamela, ecclesiology is something that differs within the body of Christ, church order or ecclesiology. And what I champion at the Christian Research Institute and have for 30 years is mere Christianity. So an essentials unity, non-essentials liberty, and in all things charity. So there are ecclesiologies, church orders, that allow women to be senior pastors. My personal opinion on this matter, however, is to reiterate what I said earlier, that the basic order or structure of the church is you have the laity, they're called saints in the New Testament in places like Romans chapter 1 or 2 Corinthians chapter 1 or 1 Titus chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 1 and the like. So you have saints, they're the laity. The second order is deacons. They're literally called servants. That's the denotative meaning of the deacon, ordained to serve the church and must be of extremely high qualifications. And you see in Acts that seven men of good reputation fulfilled that role so that the elders could fulfill their roles. And the elder, of course, is the third order that I would mention, a presbyter or an elder, again, visible throughout the New Testament, appointed as elders by the Apostle Paul in various places, as we see in the Scripture. And then you have a bishop, and the bishop is the overseer. In other words, he's the leader of the elders. And we see this not only in the we see this not only in the precedent of Scripture, but we also see this in the way that the early church formed. So if you go back to some of the earliest church information that we have, evidence outside of the Bible, you find these orders of government in the writings of Ignatius, Bishop of Antioch. And he was writing very, very early, somewhere between 67 and 107. This is the very heart of the New Testament era. So that's my personal opinion on it. But again, this is an area in which we have diversity of opinion, even within the Christian Research Institute. So I think that you have to be governed by your conscience on this particular matter. And again, I don't think this is an essential of the Christian faith. And so, as I said, an essential is unity, non-essential is liberty, and all things charity.
Right. I appreciate that. You know, I guess the struggle I have with the whole topic is when a woman, maybe myself and some other women I've met during my education journey, who feel very strongly called to be pastors, and some of them are actually quite successful at it, and they look frowned upon by other people or other denominations who would suggest that they're in grave error for doing so. And that's not what I want to do. If God did call me into pastoral ministry, I don't want somebody else thinking I'm disobeying God because they have a different opinion than I do. And it weighs really heavy on my heart as a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ to have somebody come to me and say, well, you can't pastor a church because you're a woman.
Yeah, at the end of the day, though, I think what you're talking about is conscience and your critical study of the Word of God. What is the precedent that you have in the Word of God? And at the end of the day, the most important thing from my perspective is that you have been gifted, and you would be in sin not to use your gift. But how that functions within the body of Christ, you have to be settled in your own mind before the Lord. But again, I have a strong opinion on it. I've written about this in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition. Nice talking to you. I wish I could talk to you some more, but we're up against a hard break. Quote of the day coming up.
This is a desperate time for America. American culture is changing faster than ever before, and George Barna understands this. His new book, America at the Crossroads, shows the explosive trends that are shaping America, along with how, why, and what you should do to shape our future from a Christian perspective. We stand at a hinge in history, and the clock is ticking. You may delay, but time will not. To receive your copy of America at the Crossroads, Explosive Trends Shaping America's Future and What You Can Do About It, as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's many outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. America is at a crossroads. Action is needed, but not just any action. We don't need Christians merely attempting to do their best. We need soberly informed Christians doing what is genuinely strategic. The future doesn't just happen. It is created by people committed to envisioning and facilitating specific outcomes in society. The key is not simply to know what is coming, but to determine how to respond most intelligently and strategically to emerging circumstances. And that's why Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute are offering George Barna's strategic book, America at the Crossroads, in appreciation for your financial partnership. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many. The gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. America is at a crossroads. Action is needed, but not just any action. We don't need Christians merely attempting to do their best. We need soberly informed Christians doing what is genuinely strategic. The future doesn't just happen. It is created by people committed to envisioning and facilitating specific outcomes in society. The key is not simply to know what is coming, but to determine how to respond most intelligently and strategically to emerging circumstances. That is true wisdom. And that's why this month, the Christian Research Institute is offering the strategic resource, America at the Crossroads, Explosive Trends Shaping America's Future and What You Can Do About It, as our appreciation for your financial partnership. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And the quote of the day, this is something that has been weighing on my heart, as you could tell from the second segment of today's broadcast, the last segment. So the quote of the day comes from Dr. Paul McHugh. And he is a distinguished service professor of psychiatry at Johns Hopkins Medical School. He's a former psychiatrist-in-chief at Johns Hopkins Hospital. So he has incredible, impeccable credentials. Not only that, but he's been studying transgendered people for 40 years. And he has well said that gender dysphoria should be treated with psychotherapy, not surgery. In fact, at Johns Hopkins, after pioneering sex change surgery, what Dr. McHugh says is we demonstrated that the practice brought no important results. So he was in the business. He understands the business. From a medical, from a psychological perspective, from a psychiatric perspective, and this is what he says in the quotes of the day, and I'll give you two of them. First, a pithy quote. At the heart of the problem is confusion over the nature of the transgendered. Sex change is biologically impossible. People who undergo sex reassignment surgery do not change from men to women or vice versa. Rather, they become feminized men or masculinized women. And then here's the salient quote of the day. So if I put the emphasis on any syllable, it will be this one. It says, Dr. Paul McHugh, the idea that one's sex is fluid and a matter open to choice runs unquestioned throughout our culture, and it is reflected everywhere in the media, the theater, the classroom, and in many medical clinics. It has taken on cult-like features, its own special lingo. Internet chat rooms provide slick answers to new recruits, and clubs for easy access to dresses and styles supporting the sex change. It is doing much damage to families, adolescents, and children, and should be confronted as an opinion without biological foundation wherever it emerges. But gird your loins if you would confront this matter. Hell hath no fury like a vested interest masquerading as a moral principle. That last line bears repeating. Hell hath no fury like a vested interest masquerading as a moral principle. And that is precisely what we're dealing with. We're dealing with vested interests masquerading as moral principles. And now these moral principles, although they're not moral at all, they're immoral, they are so embedded, impregnated in our culture that if one does not capitulate, you're immediately called a bigot. There's no room for conversation on this point. And so even taking a point like this on is tantamount to putting yourself in jeopardy. But that's precisely where we ought to be putting ourselves. Because if we don't stand at this important structure or juncture in history, if we don't stand, the culture is going to devolve. We are the leavening force in the culture. And I didn't read the Pat Robertson quote to be mean. It's just a matter of bewilderment to me how you can have key evangelical leaders with huge platforms that have capitulated on this point. And there are many others that could be pointed out. He's just an icon, and he's even drank the Kool-Aid. And we need to simply stand against this. before it ruins the lives of more and more people and eventually ends up without, in concert with many other of the cultural trends, the tsunami waves, takes a very fragile culture and destroys it. So again, we get to stand up and be counted. This is not the time to be timid. Joel, El Paso, Texas. Hi. Hi, Joel. I can hear myself back on the radio. Hey, you there?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Okay. My question is, a person has struggled for decades with sex addiction and became a Christian in their late 20s and still struggled with that addiction. Is it possible for that person to still be saved? Or is that person, is there no remedy for that person anymore?
Absolutely, there is a remedy, and absolutely that person can be saved. Addictions are binding cords that are very hard to break. And the real issue is always this, a willingness to turn from our sin with God's help. A change of heart, a change of mind, a change of will, a U-turn on the road of life, wanting to go God's way. So the very fact that this becomes a problem in a person's mind and they are willing to change is what is necessary. So the operative word here, if you can get this in your mind above anything else, is willing. It is the willingness to change with God's help. Now, God provides us means, and we have to partake of those means. As a Christian, as a follower of Jesus Christ, as one who is a co-consummator in the kingdom, we don't go the road alone. When we take up our cross and follow Christ, we do it in community. And it is the body of Christ that can help us in this struggle where we cannot help ourselves in isolation. We can do certain things, but it requires the body of Christ. And there are fantastic resources that have been produced in the body of Christ. I think of a book that I urged Joe Dallas to write, and of course endorsed, called The Game Plan, the Men's 30-Day Strategy for Attaining Sexual Integrity. This is not sort of like a a quick fix, an easy silver bullet to the problem, but it gives you a plan. And if you follow the plan within the context of accountability within the church, you can overcome. But the real issue is your willingness to overcome. And even if you fall back into sin, if you come before God with a broken and a contrite heart, God will not despise you. When you think about what David did, and in Psalm 51, when he says, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, blot out my transgression, wash away all my iniquity, cleanse me from my sin." And later on he says, "Cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I'll be whiter than snow. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Grant a willing spirit to sustain me." Within that psalm, he says, "A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." So I think what you have to have is that broken and contrite heart over your sin, evident, whether this is you or someone else, evident in the way that you phrased the question, a broken and a contrite heart, someone willing to change. That person is not lost, but that person is found. I mean, that's the first step to redemption. That's the first step to doing something about it. But again, you can't do this in isolation. It has to be done within the body of Christ, because it is within the body of Christ that you receive the graces by which you can become, by grace, what God is by nature. And there are disciplines that you learn within the body of Christ, that those disciplines help you overcome even these kinds of addictions, sexual addictions, as you're describing them. So I would say the book is very, very important. This is one of the primary resources that I'm making available in this epoch of time. And I have been endorsing this book for a long time and promoting it for a long time because it has made a difference in the lives of many people. But I want to emphasize what I said earlier. Don't try to walk this road alone.
Well, the problem is that they were told by some preacher that they were already going to hell and there was no hope for them, so they don't see any use in trying to change, because apparently now they've been told that there's no hope for them anymore, that's it for them.
Well, it's shameful that anybody said that to them, and now you can be the bearer of good news. You can go back to them and
they also tried being accountable to other Christians. And the only bad part about that was that the other Christians went and gossiped about him to everybody else.
You know, this is the hell of churches that are not healthy, well-balanced churches. Within a proper church structure, you can confess your sins with complete assurance that what you are confessing stays between you and the presbyter. It is unfortunate that there are churches that are not healthy and well-balanced, but the fact that there are counterfeits does not mean that there is not a real. And if you want to hang on, maybe someone can help you off air as well, because we're coming to an end of this show. It's a very, very important point, but I want to emphasize that you can be the bearer of good news. You'll make sure this person is in a healthy, well-balanced church as opposed to an unbalanced church, and then takes upon themselves the means that are available, including the game plan. If he can afford it, or you can afford it, or if you can't afford it, I'll just send it to you. Just put it in his hands. I think it'd be very, very helpful. Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Tomorrow and Monday, Benjamin Weicker talking about a range of issues, natural law, climate change, pornography, addictions, the very thing we're just talking about. Thanks for tuning in. See you with more.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and live Christianly. In appreciation for your gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you a copy of America at the Crossroads, Explosive Trends Shaping America's Future and What You Can Do About It by George Barna. Just call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271, or simply visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. America is at a crossroads. Action is needed, but not just any action. We don't need Christians merely attempting to do their best. We need soberly informed Christians doing what is genuinely strategic. The future doesn't just happen. It is created by people committed to envisioning and facilitating specific outcomes in society. The key is not simply to know what is coming, but to determine how to respond most intelligently and strategically to emerging circumstances. And that's why Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute are offering George Barna's strategic book, America at the Crossroads, in appreciation for your financial partnership. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.